Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Yes, and right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The razz everywhere is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the flash in me. Better leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivational track to see successful guests promote self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Everyone, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and of course you know what it is, and you know what time it is. You are live in the remix. I want to say welcome to everyone. It's good to see you guys in the house tonight, and know that it is a Sunday night. Got a real exciting show planned for you this evening. Lots of things going on. We're going to talk about those as well. Just want to say welcome to everyone for joining in here in the forum tonight. I see you guys out there. And for those of you who is just joining us right here in the forum, sorry about that. So good to see you guys in the house. 644-652-2711 is the number to call. I want to make sure that you guys can hear me nice and clear here. So we're going to make sure that that is done so that you guys can hear me. Hear me nice and clear. Good to see you guys in the house tonight. Welcome to the remix, everyone. I'm your host, of course, Miss Blue, and it's Sunday night. Can you be June 10th? June 10th. Let's see if we can get the phone. I know it's cracking just a little bit. Just a little bit there. We'll get that. We'll get that fixed. Good to see everyone in the house tonight. All right, guys, give me 1 second here. We're going to go ahead and get under control. As I just want to welcome you guys for joining me here live in the remix. So good to see everyone in the house tonight. Want to give a big shout out to all of our international listeners who's joining us here live in the forum. Good for you guys to be here as well. Good for you guys to be here and good for us to be in the house. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. If you want to come over to the chat room, you can do that as well. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix and see you guys there. See you guys there. We're going to be jamming here in just a moment. So know that we're going to be playing some music. We're going to be jamming here, and we're going to get into the share. Get into the share. How's everybody doing tonight? How's everyone doing? How's everybody doing? Everyone doing great? Everyone's doing great. Everyone's doing great. All right. Well, good, good, good. All right, you guys. The chat room is open, you guys. I'm over here. I'm really kind of moving around a little bit, but I'm going to be still here. Good to see everyone in the house. You know, tonight I have a very special show planned for you guys. Joining us here live in the forum is going to be the one and only legal analyst. Joining us tonight is going to be Nancy Lockhart herself. She's joining us. I see Amsterdam is in the house tonight. And the UK is in the house tonight. Got all parts of the world joining us right here, as always, in the room. So what I'm going to do is we're going to get ready to dance. We're going to jam a little bit, kind of get ready to receive the energy. Hopefully you guys can hear me. Let's see. So this is not better. So we're going to try to see. I'm going to try to see if I can get this better for you guys. I want to wait and have everyone just go ahead and pick themselves up so we can get ready to jam here tonight. And let's see if we can make this a little bit better because I want to make sure that you guys can hear me loud and clear. So we're going to jam to this. We're going to get ready to welcome Nancy Lockhart, and I'll be right back.
Upside down, you're turning me, you're giving up instinctively. Round and round, you're turning me, I say to me, respectfully. Upside down, you're turning me, you're giving up instinctively. Round and round, you're turning me.
Boy. All right, everyone. Peace and greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, 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 everyone, to the remix. And so glad you guys are joining me here live tonight in the remix. Upside down, you're turning me. That's kind of how I feel tonight. Upside down, you're turning me, but that's okay. Tonight, we have Nancy Lockhart, who's going to be joining us here live in the tonight. She's going to be on the phone in just a short moment. And she's going to be joining us here in the forum, and she's going to be talking about her book. Of course, we're going to get into that. We're really going to begin to talk about her book. But one of the other things that we'll be speaking about tonight is we're also going to be talking about her passion. Now, I'll be talking about her passion as well, too. So you guys know I'm very passionate when it comes to those things of passion and sort of everything that's going on. So Nancy's going to come on and she's going to talk about that. First, I want to take care of things. And let's do this. For those of you who are in the chat room, first of all, just put a heart in the room if you can hear me nice and loud and clear. If you guys can hear me nice and loud and clear, please put a heart in the chat room and let me know. They can hear me. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so we fixed the problem. Whoo! Had to pull my energy down about 50 notches. All right. A touch of choppiness. Touch of choppiness. Well, that's okay. That's just energy. That's all. I just want you guys to know. All right, so good, good, good. I'm glad you guys can hear me. Well, welcome to the remix, everyone. I'm so glad you guys are joining us here live in the forum tonight. Let's give out the telephone number. 646-522-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 once you get on the phone lines, because we'll be taking questions tonight. And we also have Nancy Lockhart in the house. That brings a smile to my face when Nancy is joining us here in the forum, because she has so much information, knowledge, and wisdom that she shares with us. She's going to be talking about her latest project that has out right now, What to Do When Your Ass Gets Locked Up. And this is really a poor man's guide to freedom. And also, Nancy's going to be talking about those preventive things so you don't get your ass locked up. She's going to be talking about that. And also how to be proactive. Some of the things that we need to begin to do, just be proactive, keep us in the energy that we're in, and really stay on the good side of those things so that we don't get ourselves into positions where you will have to call someone like Nancy Lockhart or herself. So lots of things to share. We're going to be taking questions tonight. We're going to be talking to Nancy Lockhart about her passion and talk to her about some of the top cases that she's been working on and that she's working on right now. Also, I want to say this. If you guys get a chance to listen to the show on Friday night, I want to say this to everyone. We received so many emails. It was out of this world, I think, on Friday night show, after Friday. So know that I'm going through all of those emails and taking a look at them. You guys had powerful feedback from all of the readings that were given to all of the callers out there. So I just want to just tell you guys to keep those emails coming into questionforblue@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys, sharing your stories, sharing those passions. And so it was really good to hear from you guys. Also, to everyone who's purchasing the Know Your Magic audio workbook, part 2 is going to be coming out for those of you who have already received part 1 of the overview. I'm going to be doing part 2. And then for those of you who have the audio workbook, I'll start to send the overview of part 1. So it doesn't matter where you're working at, there is no one place to begin or one place to start. Just to begin to start where your heart is and begin to work on that. The other thing that we're going to talk about is the Kim deck, the Know Your Magic Oracle deck. Yes, it is going out all over the world. Don't forget to go over to blueblast.com/cards to leave your comments there about it. Heard some amazing testimonies. Everything from this is where I get my answers from to this Know Your Magic Kim deck saved my wife's life. All of these stories that you guys have been writing to us, make sure you put them up over there. Share those stories. Let us know how you're working with you're back and how those things are going along. Then next, what I want to say to you guys, I am so excited about this. It's been a long time coming, but the Kim Business Class is here, and it's going to be happening in the Kundalini Lab. And so the response was overwhelming. So we are still going through the emails as we speak. You know, I'm going to be working with 25 individuals in this particular class. It is the first time it's ever been done on the planet, first time been done by me. So I'm excited for every single person who has reached out and responded. So check your emails, because you're going to be getting responses about the Kundalini class and about the Kim Business class. You'll be getting those responses, so definitely check your email. And it's just taking a while because there is a team of us, and we are actually going through all of the emails and all of the responses, by the way, which just have been so enlightening and so heartfelt as well, and just so powerful. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the 25 that's going to be in this class that we're doing, and it's going to be fun. So we have a lot more responses to still go through, so you guys, your emails, and keep looking out for that. You should be hearing something about that pretty soon, coming up this week coming up. And then also, Blue Blast Call, just be on the lookout for it. That's all I can tell you. If you're on Facebook, that's a great place to be on the lookout. Twitter, great place to be on the lookout. If you have the Know Your Magic app for the remix, that's a great way to be on the lookout for it. So when you hear those dings, particularly those of you who have all of these devices on your phone, be on the lookout, because we're going to be doing another amazing Blue Blast call again. So I'm so glad to have you guys in the house with me here tonight. We have so many things that we're going to be covering here, to have Nancy Lockhart join us as well. And so we're going to get ready to get into the show. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. We're going to be taking questions as well. 646-622-2711 is the number to call. You want to get some questions, you have those questions in the area of legal things, then this is definitely who you want to speak to. This is who you want to speak to, Nancy Lockhart. So I'm going to look for Nancy here on the board. If she can press a 1 for me, that would be great, because I don't know where to find her. It's like so many people on the phone. So Nancy, if you're on the line, press 1, Nancy, so I can find you. There you are. All right, so we're going to go to Nancy Lockhart. Greetings, Nancy. Welcome to the remix.
Greetings, Miss Blue. How are you doing today?
Oh, I am doing wonderful. Doing even better now that I'm here. Did you enjoy that upside down jam we've jammed into?
I sure did.
Well, good. I'm so glad, Nancy, to have you here. You definitely have been a long time part of the remix family, and you know, it's always an honor to have you come on, bring your knowledge, bring your wisdom to us here on platform. For those of you who may not be familiar with Nancy Lockhart, Nancy, I'm going to give you an opportunity so you can introduce yourself and just share a little bit about yourself and sort of what you do with everyone here.
Okay, well, thanks. Basically, I'm a non-attorney legal analyst, and I specialize in wrongful convictions and issues of grave injustices. And I review cases, publicize some cases, and assist with other cases is basically what I do.
Beautiful. And it's some powerful work. I already see you guys with your hands up. So this is really great. You know, Nancy has been on some of the cases that a lot of you have been familiar with, some of the cases she can talk about here, and some of the cases that we won't be discussing here. But trust and believe when I say, for those of you who have had Akashic Record readings by me, you know this as well. This is the work she can planet to do. This is it, and she's doing it in a very big way. One of the cases that the Remix family, you guys know, we were kind of hand in hand, side by side, and doing a lot of work with, had a lot to do with the Scott sisters, and that was because Nancy worked on that case for how many years, Nancy?
Almost 6 years, a little under 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years of dedicated work, of really working on a case, you know, really without any kind of funding, any kind of support, just really pure passion, dedication, and passion. Speaking of passion, because this is something, Nancy, you know, I have the Kim Business class coming up, and one of the things that I want to talk to you about is your passion, because I'm always curious about where people get their passion from, where they're sourcing their power, and how did you know that this was going to be your calling? Like, talk to us a little bit about where were you when you discovered that working in this field of law and order and really fighting for the injustice of people who could not fight for themselves was really something that you were meant to do? When did that really come to you?
Well, I think it started, Ms. Blue, actually many years ago, but this came to me in Chicago when I actually learned about the Sky Sisters case. I had gone to Chicago for a Master of Jurisprudence from Loyola Law School.
Yes.
With all intentions of working in FDA regulatory compliance. My coursework, my background there at Loyola was actually compliance work, FDA, because I have a strong science background, undergraduate science background. Mm-hmm. And then I worked at Rainbow Push Coalition to support myself when I came across a letter from Ms. Evelyn Roscoe, and thought that Push was going to accept that case and work on that case.
Mm-hmm.
And when they
did
not, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
No, go ahead. You're fine. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when they didn't, I did. I graduated, left there, and continued and realized that that was what I was supposed to do in life, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say this started from my ancestors, from my parents, from my grandmother. My grandmother started one of the first, or the first school in the area that I grew up in for Negroes, quote-unquote Negroes. At the time, we were not able to go, I think, past the sixth grade in the low country of South Carolina. And she and some men actually physically built a one-room school. And from that, it led me to enter the system as a public school teacher. And as a public school teacher, I guess I was one that, sort of bucked the system. And I was transferred to work with juvenile delinquents, and I think that the individuals that transferred me thought that it would be punishment,
right.
And it was actually the best thing that happened in my life. Those were my best years of teaching in public school. I ended up going to court a lot with students who were going to be railroaded, put in juvenile detention, in juvenile jail, actually. And,
right.
From there, that's how things progressed.
I want to talk about that because that was a really pivotal point, and you know how I love to get to these particular points of when the realization kicked in. And you said something there. You said this was supposed to be punishment for you. You were teaching in public school, and because you were sort of one of these people that wanted to step outside the rule box and not do things, they figured they would punish you by sending you over to teach the children at the juvenile school. And you said what was the punishment actually turned out to be sort of the greatest experience for you. In fact, it became life-changing. And I think in our lives, we have these experiences that really propel us into doing the work that we came to do. And you said those were your best teaching years. Is that when you really got a taste of what the legal system was about? And what was really going on when it came to those things of law and order, and particularly when it came to those things of our children and ourselves with the legal system?
That's when I I think that's when I got my largest taste of the legal system. But I actually was introduced to the legal system through my grandmother. My parents, my grandmother, you know, they were very old, you know, old when they had me. My grandmother was old. And she was my babysitter. And one of the things that we did basically every winter was we went to the courthouse. I'm a product of the 60s. And during those years, you know, black people migrated to the north for work. And a lot of times they forgot about the property that their ancestors had in the South. My grandmother was always paying, you know, individuals property taxes, that kind of thing. So basically I learned from my grandmother as a child how to do title searches and how to trace property, how to trace ownership, you know, that kind of thing. So that was my initial introduction with her. And then further on in life, you know, I guess actually it was in teaching, quote-unquote, juvenile delinquents that I really became introduced to the system. And I felt, well, you know, I bought the, you know, Black's Law Dictionary and everything.
Right.
And figured I could look the words up and know what the judge was talking about. Wasn't quite that simple. And went and got a paralegal certificate, obtained a paralegal certificate to assist me, to help me, to help these children, okay?
Beautiful.
And I guess that, you know, that's the first major introduction. And as a result of that, you know, with teaching, I would get written up. I would be reprimanded. I had this one principal who actually, she would write me up. It was extremely frustrating. So one day I said, why don't I just write her up? So she'd write me up, I'd write her up. She'd write me up, I'd write. And it was crazy. You know, it was really crazy.
Right.
At the beginning of the year, you're told, okay, well, turn in your yearly lesson plan. I don't remember what they call it now, the lesson plan for the year, not the weekly one. And turn that in. Well, we had you know, structure that we had to follow, right? And that said, one year it said that the students were going to be tested at the end of the year on the periodic table of elements. We were scheduled to teach the periodic table of elements in March, with the exam being in May. Well, I'm thinking to myself, you know, even as a student in college, I could not have learned the periodic table of elements from, you know, March, April, May. So I incorporated that in my lesson plan starting in August when school started. Oh, I got written up. She'd walk in my classroom, you're not on the correct page. You're not doing this. You're not, you know. And to cut that story kind of short, we had a superintendent whom everybody said was this, quote, racist man that they brought out of Georgia to work in, you know, to head the school system. She wrote me up, told him that I needed to be evaluated, told him that she wanted a team of my peers to evaluate me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know who I was, and he was like, you know, I'm really tired about hearing about this Nancy Lockhart. I'm going to evaluate her myself. Well, that resulted in him hiring me to conduct workshops on the weekend for poor teachers who were performing, you know, rather poorly.
Beautiful and very powerful. Beautiful and very powerful. Wonderful, Nancy. Thank you so much for sharing that. Like, you know, it is amazing when you stand your ground and begin to really just know what's in your heart and just really just keep growing, you know, just keep doing what you do and coming from that place of your heart, of what you know you're meant to do, that you really discover these things. So that is amazing. Tell us really quickly, before we are ready to get into some of the goodies of the book, that Nancy Lockhart, one of her latest projects that she has out for right now, is what to do when your ass gets locked up. We're going to talk about this from many different angles. The first angle being the preventive side, because this is very much what Nancy is about. It's about really, really making sure you don't get yourself in the position so you have to get locked up. And then we're going to talk about what happens when you're in a position where you're face-to-face with the situation, some of the key things that you can do. And Nancy has been very, very instrumental, and really the way that she runs her support system that she does on whether the cases are very notable cases that you may see about or hear about on television or read about in some of these magazines, to even those cases you don't hear about, of really just setting up a grassroots organization, one that just had wildfire all across the world. Talk about sparking magic. Nancy is definitely a fire sparker in that sense of the way. So we're going to talk about those family members that you may have that's incarcerated and you feel they're there unjustly. Or maybe yourself are dealing with some sort of injustice. I see you guys on the phone line. You definitely want to get in line so you can have this opportunity to really speak with Nancy about a few things. She's going to tell you those things she's able to talk about, what she's not. Her book really goes into a lot of those modalities. And one of the things that I love so much about Nancy, you guys know, she's been on the Remix a couple of times, and she's who I go to for a lot of advice. Legal suggestions on what to do about different things that are happening. So anytime I need suggestions or really to get her opinion about different things, Nancy is definitely where I go. But the book has really helped put a lot of things into perspective. And tonight, Nancy is so graciously going to be giving away 3 copies of What to Do When Your Ass Gets Locked Up. It's a poor man's guide to freedom. But it's also for those of you who may not have any problems getting locked up and you don't want to get locked up. So know that it can be used for both preventive as well as somebody maybe you know that you can pass it on to that maybe can use the information as well. It's one of those things that you should have in your house, like a first aid kit. So we're going to talk about some of those things in the book, because she covers everything. I think you covered everything in there, Nancy, even coupons. How to Nancy is the coupon queen, you guys. You don't know. Nancy is the coupon queen.
That's called family finances, Miss.
Oh, yes, family finances. That's what it's called. So her section on family finances really tell you how you could get hundreds of dollars worth of things and actually really get them for pennies. We'll be touching on some of those subjects too. So I want to get into the book and talk about this inspiration behind you writing What to Do When Your Ass Gets Locked Up.
Okay. What was your question?
I said I want you to tell us the inspiration behind the book. There is Patah is in the chat room. He said, I have her book, and I love how frank of the matter in which it's written, because everything is to the point, and I agree. Everything is straight to the point. There is no fluff in there. You don't have to have a law degree. You don't have to understand all of these legal terms. Nancy makes it very plain. She makes it very simple, and she gets there. She definitely gets there.
Well, I tell you exactly what prompted me to write the book. It was, I suppose, shortly after the Sky Sisters were released, I was dealing with that Bobby Yates, Texas case and a couple of other cases, and the phone was jumping off the hook, and it was, well, you know, I just got arrested last week, da-da-da-da. My son was arrested, or my son is in jail right now, you know, that kind of thing. So I said, okay, well, if I had something that I could just send out to people, that would take care of that, and that would free up some time for, you know, me to work on these cases that I'm working on. Well, that was sort of the truth, but it worked a little bit. But
right.
You know, the calls continue. The calls are, you know, continuous. But what I was hearing from people was the main thing just actually made me want to scream in the phone. Well, I told the police so and so and so when he, you know, arrested me. And I told him this and I told him that. And, you know, I said to myself, I said, you know, people just do not know that they should not talk. Talking was one of the largest problems that I ran across.
Okay, and that's good. Let's talk about that right now. This is one of the things you said you found this to be the number one mistake and that people were doing is that whenever something is happening, that people were talking. And when you're saying talking, are you talking about talking to the police? Are you talking about talking to social service or any kind of anybody who comes at you legally? Who, when you say people should not talk to, who should they not talk to?
Well, you know, being arrested, I mean, of course, you have to talk. You can't sit there, you know, like a bump on a log. You show your ID, your driver's license, if you're driving, I mean, whatever the case might be, upon being arrested. But people feel that they can negotiate with the police, okay,
mm-hmm.
when they're arrested. People feel that it is okay to let the police just come in and search their homes. There is a case right now where I'm just shocked beyond belief that a friend of mine actually allowed the cops to come in her house and search her house.
Wow.
In a state that has some very, very, very strict gun laws, okay? And what they found in that house was an inoperable gun, but they also found another gun. So, you know, the police are supposed to go and get a search warrant for your house. Same thing with your car. You know, I say it's up to the individual, but personally, if it were me being stopped, if it were me facing an arrest, I would not give the police the authority to search my car. Number one, what I'm seeing now is the cops are planting drugs on people, especially young black males, young Hispanic males,
mm-hmm.
and out in the Midwest, young Native Americans. They're planting the drugs, so you've given them the right to search your, and it's not to say that they can't do it or won't do it anyway, but you give them the right to search your car without a warrant. You start talking, and the cop says, hey, I believe you committed a murder. So-and-so and so was shot and killed. Well, no, officer, you know, I was down the road from that house. I wasn't in front of that house. You're still implicating yourself somehow, okay?
Right.
You know, and especially if you're underage, your parent needs to be there, an attorney needs to be present. Be quiet. Shut up. I mean, just don't talk. You cannot negotiate with the police. The police are not your friends. They're looking for evidence to take back to court to get a conviction.
Very good, very good. And in fact, I'm going to read some quotes that you have here in your book. And this talks about what to do when your ass gets locked up. And in this particular section here, you can kind of tell us where we are. But this is where you say, don't talk, remain silent, be respectful, shut the hell up, and ask for an attorney. And these are all part of the Miranda rights, correct?
Okay, yeah, you have the right to remain silent, all of that, yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And those should be read.
Mm-hmm.
The Miranda
mm-hmm.
rights should be, you know, read to you.
Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful. Beautiful. So some really good stuff. We're going to go into some more of this, but I want to get questions in here. Before we get the question in here, Nancy, I want you to really be clear about, because, everybody has a lawyer. I think everybody who says that to me, they say, Nancy Lockhart, she's a lawyer, right? Everyone thinks you're a lawyer. Tell us the difference and really just tell us how you maximize all of your abilities, and it allows you the flexibility to help and assist and really to give suggestions and really work on cases to help people.
Well, basically, no, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a lawyer. And I make that very clear because, there's something called the unauthorized practice of law and that kind of stuff, that the penalty is a crime on UPL. But some of the things that I use are, and no, JD would not necessarily be used for an attorney. I mean, I have a master of jurisprudence. There are JDs out here that are not attorneys, okay? So you take the bar, you meet the standard, you become licensed, and okay, I was just looking in the chat room. Some of the things that I do are I work with attorneys, okay?
Right.
Especially with people who face a recent arrest or a recent sentence.
Yes.
But basically, I work with wrongful convictions or people who have been in prison a good while. And when I say a good while, probably some 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I think the most is 37 right now. And there's a case, he's been in 37 years, he's innocent. And those individuals, have exhausted all of their recourse in the legal system. In other words, they don't have any appeals left, don't have post-conviction left, that kind of thing.
Right, right, right. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Nancy. One of the things I want to get going here with tonight, I want to get some good conversation in. We're going to be giving away 3 books tonight. We're going to get Twitter going here in just a moment. And we're going to get some Twitter going. Hopefully, Esther can help us. We're going to get Twitter going, get the hashtag going. We're going to get over Twitter as well. So now we're also going to start taking some questions, because I see you guys on the phone lines. You have questions, and we're going to get some questions. You have a question? Lockhart, 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone line and let us know you're there. So now what we're going to do is go to the first caller. It looks like calling in from area 678. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
This is me. I'm a good texting in the chat. Oh,
okay. This is who?
So I can ask any question. I can ask any question?
No, you cannot. Who's on the line, please?
Oh, me. It's Michael.
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 Okay.
Michael.
Yes. All right, Michael. You cannot ask us questions.
I mean, something pertaining to law, obviously.
No, you still can ask 100, Michael. I don't care what
okay.
pertaining to. You can't ask 100.
Okay.
You can ask a question. Go ahead.
Okay. What type of remedy would there be for a person that, like in my situation, my spouse, she pretty much, she lied, got an injunction against me, moved out of the house and took everything. And so, of course, I can't talk to her, see her, or have any contact with her. And and she filed for the divorce, so not much I really can do. So what could I do?
what do you want to do? I mean, do you want the divorce? Do you want your everything that you took out of the house?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think are you talking about furniture or that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, furniture, clothing, like everything. Like a lot of things, music equipment. It's so many things that were taken and then sold.
Do you have an attorney who's representing you in the divorce?
No, I don't.
So what, you're trying to handle the divorce yourself?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You know, actually, I do not look strongly on pro se representation, representing yourself. I personally, well, no, there are some things that I have represented myself on, so I can't say that. But, I mean, personally, if I were you, I would not represent myself. One of the things that I've seen happen is I've seen people use the same attorney. I don't know how friendly her attorney is or how friendly, you know, she would be toward you, you know, I try to negotiate possibly even through her attorney. Are you trying to prevent the divorce?
At first I was, but I kind of came to terms with it because I'm kind of tired of going back and forth. But the thing is that it's a military issue, so the power of attorney that we're using is kind of like a conflict of interest when she starts using it.
What do you mean, power of attorney?
They have like my fault, not power of attorney, but paralegals. We have like paralegals that work on the cases.
You mean for the JAG office?
Yeah, the JAG office. And then once one person goes there, you know, I can't go there. And then I have a restraining order, so I can't even go in that area. Period. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I think you need to secure an attorney, and I would think that the JAG officer, the attorney there, I would think that they, you know, would speak with you, really, but and I don't mean to be rude to you, but I feel like it's a whole lot more that you're not talking about. I think it's a whole lot more to the story.
It is. I mean,
are there
is.
Children involved?
Is there what?
Are there children involved?
Oh, no, no children involved. It was simply, of course, I wasn't the perfect person. I did something, but once she found out, you know, she kind of flipped the script, and she did what she did, and kind of left me out to dry. So I'm just trying to get my stuff back. I got a lot of stuff. Expensive stuff.
Well, the only thing that I can see that you need to do is you need to secure legal representation for yourself. And if you're are you the person that's in the military or is she?
She is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think you should secure an attorney for the divorce. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. Yeah. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code, it looks like 78, live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, good evening, Ms. Blue. Can you hear me? Hi, Nancy.
Yes. Good evening. Who's on the line, please?
Hi, this is Tahita calling from Lithonia, Georgia.
Okay, greetings to you. You had a question for Nancy?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to tell Nancy I commend her for the work that she's doing. I don't have the book yet, but my three sons were in jail. And during the time that they were in jail, I really didn't study the law to see how I could help them. So every time they got in jail, it was like, well, you know, they're in jail again. How do I get them out? It wasn't until my youngest son was locked up And I began to write letters. Well, first I was calling and, you know, getting all emotional about, you know, when's he getting out and why is he locked up? And I was really getting nowhere. But it wasn't until I started writing letters. And I wrote his PO and I wrote his public defender or district attorney, all these different people was when he was actually let out. So it seems like the power of the pen really works far more greater than trying to have an attitude and calling people because you're an emotional mom and you don't know anything about the law. And ignorance of the law is no excuse. And I was just wondering about maybe formulating or a class, maybe a Saturday class, because a whole lot of men get locked up and they do not know how to stand on their square, defend themselves, or even talk about law. Even the, you know, it's like they're pawns of the system. And I wanted to know, are there any initiatives to help maybe young men who are coming out of prison to learn how to kind of navigate through the system so they do not go back into jail? And the second part of the question was court reporting, because I never really wanted to go to school and be a lawyer, but I wanted to learn more about the law and, you know, maybe do paralegal. How do you see the course of court reporting? Does a person in that particular field know a lot about the law because they have to record it and their records, you know, record keeper? Is that a way to learn more about the law?
I think if you just simply want to learn more about the
law. You got it.
Go ahead, Ms. Flo.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say you study. I mean, I would think, but go ahead.
But if you're looking for, you know, if you're looking for a career and for a very lucrative career, court reporting is a very lucrative career. And there is a very big shortage of, you sound to be African American, there's a big, big shortage of us in court reporting. A lot, it's rather difficult. The coursework is like, you know, your basics, the basic English, that kind of thing. And then there's like a legal course that you take. And then, you know, there's the transcription. Now, the downside that I learned on court reporting is that they've been talking for many, many years that computers were going to take over, okay? So that's, like, the downside. But it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, there will be a need for people still, even if the computer, if computers do take over. It's a very lucrative field. The paralegal field with just simply a paralegal certificate, I found personally that it was a very hard field to break into. Unless you have some years of experience, unless you're in a huge city, you know, it's not very lucrative. And it appears to me, you know, attorneys in the South want to pay paralegals, you know, very minimally. And they do not allow, I have found that they don't allow the paralegals to do a whole lot of the research, like the things you enjoy or the things that I would have enjoyed, like research and, you know, that kind of thing. But in terms of court reporting, I would also suggest to you that you take the class, sit in the class, and I believe there's some schools in Atlanta. And the only reason that I know all of that about the court reporting is because I investigated it for myself.
I see. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, there is a couple schools here that I, you know, tend to investigate. So thank you so much.
You're
great
welcome.
Question. Great question. And Nancy, that is a good question. So if you were to go into the field, as the sister was saying, about court reporting, like how much knowledge would you gain about understanding about law from just going through that process of court reporting?
You gain enough knowledge, not so much about law, but you gain the – are you referring to the school or working as a court reporter? Because working as a court reporter, of course, you'd gain a whole lot of knowledge, you know.
Right, or on the
sitting
job.
In court, yeah. Or whatever.
Right.
And then there are various jobs for court reporters. There's also a component that is closed captioning, working for television stations and whatever. Those people are court reporters. They have the same skill. But in terms of breaking into the field and the coursework that you take basically, you know, just basic legal classes, definitions, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, so you get to know the lingo and the wording and everything, so you're not afraid of all those words. You can actually understand them.
Right, right.
Okay. Can you talk to this, like the power of the pen and how that helps? I mean, as soon as I wrote a letter, like my son was out of jail within 2 days.
Mm-hmm. There's power in the pen, power in emails, power in phone calls, you know, pressure. It's called pressure. They need to know that there's someone out there, you know, that these, especially with children, that the children just aren't there in sitting in jail or whatever with parents, or with no family members, you know, to care about them or to assist. And you mentioned getting them out. Sometimes getting them out is not the right thing to do, depending on the crime. They may need to sit there because those funds that you use to meet bail may need to be used, you know, to secure decent legal representation.
Good point. Very good point. Very
true.
Good.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. Great
you're
question.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling in. All right. Yeah, that's a great question. And I know those are a lot of things that you cover in the book, Nancy, what to do when your ass gets locked up, or in some cases when children get locked up, friends get locked up, family members get locked up, so many things too. You guys can actually go over to Nancy's website at www.nancylockhart.net. There you can also go to www.nancylockhartblogspot.com. You can go there as well and check out and keep up with all the things that Nancy is doing and what is going on. Great question, conversation. Esther has a hashtag for us tonight over on Twitter, so you guys can join the conversation over there. We're going to be taking some questions. You can also tweet them over there. Tweet what you feel is going on about the show and some of the questions here. And that's going to be the # Remix Law and Order for tonight. So # Remix Law and Order. Go over there and start to tweet. All you have to do is put it in the # which is also called hashtag, and Remix Law and Order. So who knows, maybe one of the book winners also come from Twitter. So get to tweeting, get to writing it up on Facebook, get those conversations going. 646-652-271 is the number to call. We have Nancy Lockhart joining us in the forum tonight. She is the country's leading legal analyst, and she's right here with you guys and me on the Remix. So we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 216. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Greetings.
216. Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Oh, this is Cleveland, Ohio, Charles.
Okay, greetings to you, Charles. You had a question, Nancy?
Yes, I was trying to get her book, you know, because I know a lot of people, you know, that have been locked up, you know, and early on in life I had that experience. So I just wanted to help other people navigate. And, we have a lady here in Cleveland. She does some work like that. And, but I'm not going to mention her name. And, I said, have you ever heard of Nancy Lockhart? She said, no, So I just kind of, wanted to, get the book and understand how, what's going on. Because, see, I live in a city where they're just constantly harassing especially black people, and, you know, the bubble gum lights are all on. You know, they make a stop, and then they go and search and seize people's belongings, and you know, and I call it kidnapping, man. You know, it's just really insane what's going on here. You know, because early on they weren't stopping people like they were now. I know it's like a police state out here. So personally, I didn't have a question. I was just trying to get her book. But.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay. Let me speak to this, and then Nancy, I'll let you question. But you certainly can get her book. www.nancylockhart.net. You can get her book right there.
I had tried to go onto the computer, and it kind of, you know, like baffled me. I just, you know, but I'll try it again. You know, I don't know when I went to the library and I said, well, they don't know much about anything. And,
you can ask your library to carry the book, because it is on that distribution list, and they, you know, they can't order the book. And like Ms. Blue said, you can go to the blog and order it, nancylockhart.net. But I was going to say, you know, you mentioned kidnapping. It is kidnapping. And, you know, the prisons have turned into concentration camps, and this is just another form of slavery.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. And, you know, people are, you know, just plain letting them do it, man. You know, you know, if you're talking about stand your ground, man.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, and I'll just speak to this for a moment, Charles and Nancy. This is the reason why we have a lot of people, brothers and sisters, working, so to speak, in the trenches. And they may or may not know each other. And really, on some levels, that's not necessary. I think the main thing is that everybody is doing their work. So if you have an amazing sister that's there in your area that's working with you, I think that's wonderful. Definitely, I'm sure that that's something that you can begin to band with. Because when it comes to law, and Nancy, I'll let you speak to this, it does differ depending on what part of the world you live in, what state you live in, and what country you're in as well, too, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very different.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's great. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. But you guys can actually go. You can purchase the book right off of Nancy's website there. And feel free to do that. Go to www.nancylockhart.com, and you can actually from there. We're going to go to the .net. Sorry, not .com, .net. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 804. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 804, you're live in the remix. We can't hear you, so if you have us on mute, we'll go to the next caller. I'm going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 540, live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, 540, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Lance calling from Roanoke, Virginia.
Greetings.
Greetings, how are you doing?
Wonderful.
I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I had a friend, a real close friend, or really a brother, that passed away like a year ago. It's a little off the subject, but he was killed by some dude, some redneck Vietnam vet. And the story didn't really make sense. It happened in Pennsylvania, but I'm in Virginia. And I'm trying to get, like, research on it. I'm trying to do a little research on it. And I was wondering how I can get those public records of the dude went to, you know, stop my man.
Okay, I don't hear you very well, but I believe you said that you had a friend that was killed. Was your friend a Vietnam veteran, or he was killed?
No, the redneck dude who shot him was.
He said the guy who shot him was a veteran.
Oh, okay. And you want to get... And you want, I mean, did this man go to trial or?
That's from, he went to trial and they acquitted him of everything. He tried to say my man robbed him, but he had some kind of little gas station or auto parts little shop in some alley or something. And he's trying to say that he was the only eyewitness that said my man was trying to rob him. And had a stun gun, and he shot him in the head. And I'm just reading on the internet different stories, little local stories they have on the internet, and it's like different, it's like little different piece things. It's like it's not adding up. And that's why I know how I can get information or transfer.
How recently did this happen? Did it happen a while ago or?
No.
Approximately a year ago.
Oh, okay. You can get the records from the court. If you live near the courthouse where the trial was held, you can get them there. Now, in terms of the court transcripts, you would need to probably find out from the clerk of court who the court reporter was. And this can be one of two things. If there's a court reporter that works directly for the courthouse, then you can probably get the transcripts from that courthouse. Of course, you have to pay for them now.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a private court reporter, I don't know what they charge in this state in particular, but it can be rather expensive. So then you find out who that private court reporter was or is to get the transcript.
Can you put me to any organization or anybody can help me out? If I,
say what?
If I do my research and find that things really, like, if I find any evidence that this was, like, a corrupt case going on, is there any institutions or a group that you can point me out to? You can probably help me. Mm-hmm. Try to bring justice to this situation. Because I know my man would not allow no crazy, I know it's like a bogus story.
No, I sure don't know of any. Mm-mm.
You know, one of the things that I would say, what state do you live in?
Where did it happen at, or where do I live right now?
Yeah, where did it happen at?
What happened in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania.
It happened in Pennsylvania. Yeah. One of the things I think that you can do, and I want to be first to definitely commend you for, you know, really trying to honor your friend, is to see if he has any family members or anyone that you guys can kind of band together. That's some of the things that Nancy talks about in her book about trying to start up different things, because it will take not only financial support to really go up against a lot of these things, but it's also going to take a lot of emotional support to really just have the stamina to really go through this process and make those connections. So is there a way that you can get in with some of his family members and maybe see if this is something you guys can begin to embark on together?
I'm glad you said that, Ms. Blue. That's something I got to look into, because I'm talking to his mom's right now and his wife, his widow.
Mm-hmm.
We have like a brotherhood that we grew up in, so trying to get everybody together. We need to really do something about this.
Yeah. So Nancy, speak to that about them really sort of forming their own support system. I know that's something that you do and you talk about in the book as well.
Yes, and also, I would suggest that you hire a private investigator.
Uh-huh.
That you know, it sounds like that's what you need in a private investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of, I mean, if that's not a feasible thing for you to do, in terms of support, family support, you know, just form a committee. And if the transcripts and things like that you want are too expensive, you know, conduct fundraisers.
All right.
I
appreciate what y'all doing for me. We'll make it happen. And I just, before I go real quick, I just want to say I love your show, Miss Blue. And I even
love
about the speaking in classes and all that. And,
yeah.
And one last question while I'm going. Can you speak about the, this thing I'm hearing about the license when you're traveling with a license? And you could say that you, without having a license, you won't get locked up. You said you're just traveling, you're not driving, something like that. I was looking up on YouTube.
Driving without a license?
Yeah, it's a way to get around driving without a license.
Is there a way to get around driving without a license, you said?
Yes, there's a way you go.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, it's like some kind of laws they got going on in Canada. I seen a little clip in Canada where this guy got pulled over and he said he showed him to pull out some kind of documentation saying he didn't need a license. He could just travel. He just had documentation to travel.
Well, now, the laws in Canada are very different than the laws in the United States. But to my knowledge, every state in the United States requires you to have a license to drive a car. There's a different license for a moped, and there's another license for motorcycles.
All right, that. I thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. And yeah, that is something, too. You know, a lot of times there is so many different systems and laws out there, and I'll be perfectly honest with you guys. I know Nancy is definitely speaking from her position, and she's going to recommend those things that she know works based upon her expertise and what she's done. But I'll tell you this, so many people have tried to do these different systems and have gotten themselves locked up, lost their homes, lost their belongings, and all of these things. Because one of the things about the law is that they revoke the right to change the law when they want to. So just keep that in mind, you guys, when you're seeing all these really, really hot ways to kind of get around the law. And, you know, make sure that the person that is telling you things to get around the law, that they have actually lived by this themselves. So we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to go back to the caller that's calling in from area code 804. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. My name is Candace, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Greetings to you, Candace, from Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you. I just had a question for Ms. Lockhart. It's about my brother. He's been incarcerated since he was about 16, and he's now, he'll be 23 in December. And I wanted to refer him to you as far as, like, trying to help our family get him out of prison. Like, he was incarcerated for armed robbery, but when our family, like, went back into the records that he was given, like, he was over-sentenced. And so I was just wondering, like, is that something that that you will be able to help us out with? Or, like really, what should we do at this point? Because he's, like I said, he's already been incarcerated for almost, like, 5 or 6 years now.
Okay. I'm not sure what the law is in Virginia. I would have to look for youth. Normally, a lot of states, and I won't say normally, but a lot of states have the life without parole for youth. And you know, I'm just not sure. If you feel that he's innocent or if you know that he's innocent, that's one thing. If you feel that he's not innocent, there are several options. There was a Supreme Court ruling, I think, about a year ago, that actually overturned some life without parole for youth. So it would be very hard for me to suggest anything, you know, without knowing more facts about the case.
Okay.
But you can email me. You can email the information to me.
Okay.
Or you can email me. What, and I won't say information. I would say a page, just one page of the facts of his case.
Okay. And one more thing I just wanted to know about, like, with dealing with, I heard y'all mention earlier about social services, like, when someone, like, has, like, a case with social services that ends up turning into, like, a criminal case, like, what are some of, like, the procedures that someone could, like, basically take to, like, defend themselves against them? Because, like, in my state, it's a commonwealth, so a lot of times it's like we're on a witch hunt around here where the commonwealth, they'll just come after you, and you're just, if you don't have the money to defend yourself, you're just, you know, left out to dry. And so I'm just trying to see, like what are the proper steps to defend yourself against, like, agencies such as social services, or, like, even to the point where, like, it's a county that where we used to live, and from my understanding, from what I'm understanding, they're, like, their own private entity because they don't do anything that's, like, I guess, cut and dry.
They're unincorporated?
To my understanding, they are incorporated, but the way they handle things is like, okay, like when myself, when I got incarcerated, they told me, well, when I wanted to, like, I asked for a jury of my own peers and, you know, things of that nature, they were looking at me like, well, you don't qualify for any of that. Like, they didn't do things that was supposed to be, you know, by the system. It was, like, totally different over there. And that's what they kept saying. We're our own private entity, and we're totally different from the way other cities and counties handle things. So
I suppose maybe with the Department of Social Services, it sounds like maybe you're dealing with administrative law. But if it turns, you know, if it could be that or either family, maybe family court. If a case turns criminal, then, you know, that is your circuit court, your superior court, whatever the next level court is in your state. Again, it's hard to honestly give you an answer without knowing more facts of the case.
Okay.
So, you know, you can. I try to answer emails within 24 hours.
Okay.
You can also call. There's a number on my blog. You can call and leave me a message. And messages normally take me a little bit longer. I answer emails a lot more quickly.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll probably have, like, a whole lot of emails in your box because I have a lot of other family members that I wanted to refer. But, like I said, I didn't know exactly, like, what information you needed.
Well, now, don't pile my inbox.
Oh, no, it's just going to be, it's going to be probably maybe three, because I know
no.
I want you to look at, I really want someone to look at my brother's case. So that's one I know I'll send. So the other ones I'll just wait on, but I do want you to actually look at my brother's, because I really do think that he was over sentenced. I can't really.
What was his sentence?
Well, they gave him 20 years, and so from 2005
What was he convicted of, may we ask?
He was convicted of armed robbery, well, conspiracy to armed robbery. And then another thing, the presiding judge, it was a whole big shenanigans going on where the presiding judge, he also came up on criminal charges. And so they were supposed to overturn everyone's charges who this judge presided over, but my brother's charge was never overturned. And then we looked again. My brother actually got more years, because at first his release date was for this year, 2012. But when we looked on it again, they have his release date as 2020. So we're not exactly sure what happened, why he got those extra years.
Was the judge tried and convicted, or did he just come up on, was he just charged with some criminal?
Yeah, he was tried and convicted. It was him and another judge as well. They were both charged and convicted. And like I said, a lot of people's charges did get overturned, but it was a couple of them, and my brother's being one of them, that just fell through the loophole that no one ever got to see or got to rehear it over again.
Okay, do you have a pen and pencil that you can write this down?
One moment.
Put the judge's name,
okay,
the county, your brother's name, your brother's inmate number, and the charges as you know them to be in
okay.
the email.
Okay.
All right.
I have to do that. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Wow, just some real extreme things going on out there. We are live in the remix with Nancy Lockhart. She is the country's top legal analyst. She's here talking about her latest project and answering you guys' questions. What to do when your ask is locked up? Nancy, one of the things also I want to let all the listeners know is that we also have a radio show right here, Blog Talk Radio, as well. So why don't you tell everybody when the show is on, and for them, they can come over and listen over there as well, too.
Okay, the show is normally on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All
every
right.
Thursday. Normally, I played hooky last week.
Well, that's okay. You guys go over there and support Nancy as well Thursday, so you can check her out on the Nancy Lockhart Show right here on Blog Talk Radio as well, too. So, Nancy, we're going to keep taking these questions because lots of callers in, lots of legal questions going on. And tonight is all about Nancy Lockhart, and she is definitely giving out legal suggestions and answering you guys' questions right here. So we're going to go to the next caller. Looks like calling in from area code 540. You're live in the remix, please. You are, and where you're calling from?
It's y'all's boy, No Thang, calling out of Roanoke, Virginia. What's up, Ms. Bliss?
Greetings to you, No Thang.
I got a quick question, I'm saying. All right, what happens when you don't pay a traffic ticket?
You get your ass locked up.
You get locked up for traffic ticket.
I'm sorry, Nancy.
You buy the book because you'll be on the other side of the wall.
Hey, for a traffic ticket, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that's deep.
Pay the ticket.
Sorry.
Did you go to court? No, seriously, did you go to court for the ticket?
Nah, it was actually like a little parking ticket.
Oh, but they...
Well, that depends on your state and whatever. You could probably Google wherever it is you are and find that out.
Okay, all right. Say it again, please.
Some states will, you know, go on and issue a bench warrant after a period of time.
Okay. All right, thank you. I gave you a little light question, but thank you anyway. Thank you for your response.
You already knew the answer.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to hear you elaborate on it.
Obviously, it wasn't a light question if you can go to jail. You look like you was pretty surprised.
I just want to hear somebody else's opinion on it, who knows something about the law. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and you know, the longer you take to pay it, the more they add onto it normally. So
hey, I'm gonna keep it a stack with y'all. It was only a $20 parking ticket, but now I'm pretty sure it's been over a year now. I'm pretty sure it's up in the hundreds now.
Looking for you, no thing. Let me
wonder if there's a reward. I could use the reward. I'm just teasing, no thing.
But it's all good. I'm going to pay it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, pay it. You have bigger things to do. So, yes, pay that. But, Nancy, let's talk about that, because sometimes you see these kind of things happen. I mean, we're making light of it here, but sometimes what actually happens is maybe you do have that parking ticket, or maybe you do have some of those little outstanding things that you think nothing, but a situation comes up, they could actually bring you down for more investigation and say, hey, you do have an outstanding parking ticket and you haven't paid it. We want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. And then probably when you go to talk, they'll arrest you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't even have those kinds of discussions. I don't have parking ticket discussions.
Okay. I heard that right. Nancy said she don't talk about no parking tickets. She got bigger fish to fry.
Because you already know the answer. $20, pay the ticket.
Pay the ticket. I love it. Love it. You guys don't know. Nancy is on it. Okay. All right. So here we go. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 252. You're live in Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes. Greetings.
You hear me? It's me.
Yes, we can. Can you hear us?
Okay. My name is Shatavius Cherry. And I'm calling from North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Greetings to you.
And I have a question. I want to know about jurisdiction. Can a judge you if you're not part of his jurisdiction?
Can a judge judge you if you're not part of his jurisdiction? Where did the crime? Is it a crime?
Yes.
Criminal case?
Yes.
So what? Is it criminal or civil case?
It's criminal.
So did the crime take place in the judge's jurisdiction?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah, sure he can.
But suppose I'm not part of his jurisdiction anymore, and I don't file my paperwork, documentation, the register of deeds, and I don't pull myself from this jurisdiction.
Have you requested a change of venue? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I have.
Was the change of venue granted?
It takes 30 days.
Yes or no? Was the change of venue granted?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, if you're, okay, I'll put it, try to put it simply. If you're living in New York City, a crime happened in New York City, you move to Raleigh, North Carolina, then you have to go back to New York City to court.
Oh, so they got to send me to court where what jurisdiction I'm part of?
Not it's the jurisdiction that the crime occurred in, that you received the charges in.
Okay.
So, I mean, crime or whatever happened in Charlotte, North Carolina, you move to Raleigh, North Carolina, you still are required to go back to Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because you move doesn't mean that you don't have to show up. Now, with the change of venue, unless you have a super good reason, it probably will be denied.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. I'm just curious. Did this happen in Durham?
No, I was asking the question. concerning like jurisdiction, as in like can a judge you if you're not part of his jurisdiction?
Right.
As in like, if I'm not a part of his, if I don't go by his laws anymore, can he still judge me for a crime that I committed?
So let me ask you a question, because it seems like this is a little different than what you're talking about jurisdiction. You're not talking about physical landmass jurisdiction. Are you talking about sort of declaring yourself sort of a straw man, this type of thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't deal with straw man. I don't know anything about straw man. I deal strictly with the letter of the law.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will tell you this. You want to go back to where you got your paperwork from and look for support. I can tell you from the spiritual side, I've dealt with quite a few people, and they have gotten themselves into a lot of situations, and I haven't seen anyone yet get themselves out. But I will tell you this. I would strongly recommend that you don't walk, that you don't wait, that you jump, you run, and you start to put things in place and really go back and speak to those how you begin to get these things set up. And someone in the chat wrote fear factor. No, this isn't fear factor. This is called real factor. So I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what I guess. I'm not telling you what somebody else told me. I'm telling you what I know and have seen firsthand. So if you're in the position right now where you can begin to speak on this subject right now, that you're free to call in, and this is the time that you begin to get support system together that has given you your rights, I guess that would be the term, I'm not sure, that you don't have to do this. So whoever puts you in the position to let you know that you don't have to follow this jurisdiction, that's who you need to go back to and get that support, because that can be a system that it's very difficult. It's very difficult to override. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm saying that if you're in the position where you can call to the remix, you need to go get them people lined up and say, here's the deal. They haven't granted this for me yet. And so I need to know exactly what I need to do, and I need to know how this is done, and see if you can talk to somebody who's actually done it, not told you how to do it, but has actually done it.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You're in a good place now, so stay in a good place and be smart. Calling in is one thing, but I can personally tell you, I want you to come back and tell me how this turns out. I would love to hear how this turns out. Yeah.
Okay.
But if all fails, you get you a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, get you a lawyer.
Depending on the severity of the charges, he probably needs one a lawyer right now.
Mm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Peace and blessings to you.
All right, you too.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Good call. Yes, and I don't know about you, Nancy, but I know this is a conversation we've talked about, and I know it's something you don't deal with. And, you know, I know those who have done that, but I can tell you I haven't seen it. So I'm really, really sending out lots of blessings to the young brother there, because he could still be free enough to call in. He's a good place to start, begin to get some things in order for himself. Yeah. All right. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from episode 772. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes. Greetings. Yes. Greetings.
Greetings.
I was calling. How are you, ladies, as a matter of fact?
Good. How are you?
Who's
I'm
on the line?
Thank
please?
You.
Who's
oh,
on the
my
line?
My name is Zuri. And I'm calling from Fort Pierce, Florida.
Okay, greetings.
My question is concerning a felon, how they're not supposed to be able to leave the country or whatever on a passport, but are there instances where that's granted?
Yeah.
I've heard that it was you're able to do that if the other country grants it, but I just want to be free. you know?
You want to know? I'm sorry. I was trying to.
How can you? Can you ever get your life back? Concern as far as passports and be free to travel if you're a convicted felon.
Yes, I know felons right now with passports. Is the person on parole or probation?
No. All of that's done.
So why are they denied a passport?
Oh,
was it the nature of the crime?
He was never denied. He just said that, you know, he was not able to get one. Like, he's never inquired. I guess this is just street-to-street person talking, whatever.
Okay. I know felons who have passports.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that he go through the passport application and, you know, and read it.
Okay. Or he just needs to start the process.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. And I guess the person themselves would know best why they're not applying for a passport. I just had to say that. Sorry, Nancy.
Right.
They know why they're not applying for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of things go into, I don't know how many of you guys have ever applied for a passport, and I know that's something that we've talked about on a Remix before, and Nancy, you talk about in your book that everybody should have a passport, it should be up to date, and you should keep it. And it really is, and it's getting harder and harder to get these passports so that you can begin to keep them and have them and have them up to date. I know that me and my children, we have passports as well, and I keep them current themselves and myself. Matter of fact, we were just having a discussion the other day. I think it's time for me to do some renewals with it. But the person knows why they're not able to get the passport, because really do some serious investigation when it comes to researching who gets a passport and who doesn't. But you should apply for a passport. You need that. Absolutely necessary. So true. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 704. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Bob calling from Charlotte.
Greetings to you, Bob from Charlotte. You had a question for Nancy?
Yeah, actually, it's two questions. One, what were your thoughts on jury nullification? The gentleman from out of Chicago, Paul Butler, from out of your hometown, he talked about this back in the 90s and it surfaced. In light of, you know, all the problems with recidivism rates and everything we see, you know, we got, you know, a much larger percentage of, you know, young black males in certain demographic ranges being put in jail for, you know, everything from, you know, simple possession to, you know, for being actual users of drugs, women, the incarceration rate for black women in, you know, that, you know, 18 to 34 demographic has skyrocketed by, I think, several 100%. What are your thoughts on jury nullification?
Good question.
Thoughts meaning exactly what?
Like, as, you know, like if you get called for jury duty and you see someone that's a nonviolent criminal, you know, I mean, is it our duty as a people to say, you know what, this is a problem. The federal government has been complicit in the problem, in the prison industrial complex, and the only way to resolve it when we can is to, like, there was a young lady who, I think it was one of the cases with one of the politicians, she made sure it was a hung jury. That was jury nullification. I mean, you know, because you best believe when Caucasians have a chance, they will hang a jury if they can.
Mm.
You know, they will nullify it. So.
Meaning that they'll acquit.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
And there's plenty of precedence for it.
not going to sit here and say that I feel we need to, you know, go to jury duty because we need to acquit, but I will say that I feel that more and more of us need to take jury duty more seriously.
Okay, but what are your thoughts on the practice of jury nullification? I mean, would you agree that the system is unjust and has failed us miserably?
Of course. I mean, what kind of question is that? Of course I feel it has failed us miserably.
So would you agree with Paul Butler, who is, you know, from Chicago, and he's a professor, on his, you know, theory of jury nullification? Do you agree or disagree with it?
I don't know Paul Butler.
No, but you know the practice. So do you agree or disagree with the practice?
I'm not going to answer that.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Because I'm choosing not to.
I mean,
like
well,
I
you're
said,
not, you're,
first
you're not
of
a practicing
all, first
attorney.
Of all,
I mean,
I'm
it's not like you're
going to
get disbarred or
say,
something.
Well,
me.
Let me, what's your name again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Robert,
well, you know, Robert, one of the things that you're talking about here is really just about freedom and choice and just understanding how these things can be manipulated in a lot of cases. This is what I get from this. Is that correct?
Well, I guess the thing is that, you know, we've asked for, you know, for decades now for, you know, at many levels, at the federal and state level, to look at, you know, the disparity in sentencing, for the severity of sentencing. It starts from, you know, from elementary school with zero tolerance, you know, behavioral policies, and then they institutionalize these young men from the time they're age 8 or 9, and then it continues on. I mean, I know someone at age 16 who was given an adult record in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now, luckily, he was able to turn his life around, and now he's an electrician, but they literally gave him an adult sentence at age 16. No one died, but they gave him an adult record and got railroaded. So, I mean, okay, that's fine. So if you don't want to answer that question, that's fine. Then the other question I had, are you familiar with what's called, there's different terminology behind it, but I have a friend who's a business owner. And they basically were being talked to by someone who's quote-unquote a business consultant, and they were telling them about what's called credit privacy number or secondary credit number, where basically, you know, and I've done searches, and it sounds like politicians, actors, people who are in the witness protection program, they basically get a secondary number and form corporations so that way they can do legitimate business. Way of, you know, getting credit in automobiles and stuff to keep their social security number private so that way their activities can't be tracked. Are you familiar with this practice?
I am.
Okay. So, when I look it up, I've looked up the statute. I looked up in the Privacy Act of 1974. I looked it up in the legal sections in the United States Code. And it's kind of murky. I mean, is this truly a practice that someone can use as an individual? Say, for instance, they have their personal credit that they use, but then they have a separate business entity, such as a corporation, LLC, or S-Corp, where they have this separate number along with their employee ID number or tax ID number for the business and have a separate profile distinct from their personal credit. Is that something that is legal?
To my knowledge, it's not, no.
Okay. All right. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We're still here. We're still here. I thought maybe you had another question.
Oh, no. That was
yeah, I thought he had another one.
I thought he had another question.
Okay. Well, I did. I didn't want to take up the airwaves too long. I try to be as succinct and concise as I possibly can. I did have one other question, and it was actually related to that same young man. He's 33 now, and, you know, like I said, he's been able to, you know, pull his life back together. the question is I mean, because I looked it up in the state of New York, like, there's no way, I guess, to really have someone's record expunged in the state of New York. They give, like, some extreme cases, I guess, but, like, is that a possibility? Because, like I said, he was age 16, and, you know, I mean, you know those, the normal circumstances, he wasn't really supervised, and he got into a lot of trouble living in Brooklyn. So, you know, the question is, you know, at age 16, they gave him this this tough sentence, and it's affected him, you know, for the rest of his life, you know what I mean? So is there any way around that, being that, you know, they probably gave him that sentence unjustly, or they gave him the felony unjustly? At age 16?
It actually is happening every day with juveniles. Since I was talking about earlier, life without parole sentences, excessive sentences, it happens every day. In terms of expungement, I would need to see what the law is. I'm not familiar with what expungement laws are in New York. There's also the possibility maybe of a pardon. You know, was this a federal or state crime?
It was state.
Yeah, maybe a pardon from the governor.
Okay, so a pardon from the governor could wipe the slate clean for him?
Depending on what kind of pardons the state of New York have. You know, different states are different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would suggest go to the governor's website. I don't know if they have a pardon board or, you know, exactly how clemency is handled, but it would be under clemency. Forms of clemency are commutation of a sentence. Obviously, he's out. Full pardon, some states call it, where all of your rights are restored, voting rights, the rights to carry a weapon, you know, that kind of stuff. You need to look under the under that website and read what the laws are or the rules are.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, and what was your name again?
Rob.
How about Rob? You're one of our... I think Rob should get a book. I think he's one of our lucky callers. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah. All right,
okay.
Rob. Do you have Nancy's email address, her contact information to send her the information, your information?
No. What is her email address?
Well, he can get it at the website, right, Nancy?
Yes.
Should he be able to give it? www.nancylockhart.net.
Okay, nancylockhart.net.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Or just send it to the Nancy Lockhart Show @gmail.com.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. All right. You're welcome, and thank you for calling in. All right, guys, lots of information, lots of things going on Twitter. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 on the phone line if you have a question for Nancy. And you guys have some questions tonight. Yes. Boy, I tell you, energy is beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 919. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello, how are you doing tonight? This is Perry Moss. How's it going?
Greetings. You got a question for Nancy?
Yes, I have a question for Nancy. My question is, if I quit a job and ask them to mail me a check, are they obligated to mail it to me?
If you're entitled to it, yes.
Okay. Is there a time period for all of this?
It depends on the state. It depends on whether or not you had a contract, what your contract says, your employee handbook, that kind of thing. Are they telling you they want you to pick the check up, or?
No, they're not communicating, period. So I just wanted to know my rights. Because I was threatened, like, earlier, like a few months ago, by the founder of the foundation, so I just wanted to make sure I'm not walking into anything, you know what I mean? I mean,
threatened bodily harm or threatened
Yeah.
It sounds like you should file a complaint, EEO complaint.
Excuse me?
It sounds like you should file a complaint.
Who I complain to? Just to the police? Or?
Send me an email. Send me an email, thenancylockhartshow@gmail.com, and I'll answer you.
Okay, Nancy.
Let me know what state you're in, that kind of thing.
Right.
Who your employer was.
Is it Nancy Lockhart Show?
The Nancy Lockhart Show at gmail.com. All
right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for calling in. All right. We're going to continue. We're right here live in the remix with Nancy Lockhart. She is the country's leading legal analyst, and she's right here in the remix as well, too, you guys, talking about her latest project, which has to do with what to do. Here we go. What to do if your ass gets locked up. That's it. And also to do so you don't get locked up. If you're on the phone line, 665-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines so that we know that you're there and that you have a question as well. So now, the other thing I want to talk to you about, Nancy, for you to speak on, and this is always a big issue, is I want you to talk a little bit about the things of, let's talk about two big issues. One is child support, period. Like, it's seems like this is always a question that keeps coming in. Looks like quite a few discussions going on Twitter. What is this big issue with child support?
Well, it seems that a lot of men and women feel that if their financial status changes, that they can just not pay child support or ignore the child support or, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot.
Mm-hmm.
If there's child support in terms of an order, a judge's order for child support, and your financial status changes, then what people need to do is get that order revised.
Is to get that order revised. That's something that they need to begin to take a look at and really begin to get that order revised for themselves, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, beautiful. All right, you guys, you heard it for that. We're going to go to the phone lines because I see there's still questions. Hopefully you guys can hear me okay. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 860. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 860.
Oh, hi, Ms. Blue. Hi, Connecticut. My name is Carol.
Speaks to you. You have a question for Nancy?
Yeah, actually, it's a question for my brother. He can't call in. He drives tractor trailer and recently divorced. The process of the he was married for 10 years, and prior to the divorce, his wife, I guess, cut herself. Threatening to
what?
Well, she didn't want him to leave, so she cut herself and called the police and said that he cut her. Well, anyhow, make a long story short, she agreed to drop the charges if he came back home, but the lawyer informed her if she dropped the charges, she would go to jail for perjury. So I guess she just never went to court. He had to get her lawyer. She never went to court. The charges were dropped. Now, the day that the charges were dropped was the day of the divorce. On that day, he had to be in court for dealing with the crime that he was charged with, and be in divorce court. And they granted alimony and child support. So I had said to him to try to have a peaceful community. They have a child together. If he could speak to her about it, but I guess she wants him back in her life and he doesn't want to come back. So it's been like rocky. I suggested maybe he can go to court and ask them to drop the alimony, but I know he has to pay child support, but at least drop the alimony because he wasn't able to represent himself and show his income and so on. So I don't know if that can possibly happen. If we know you're on the show tonight.
Yes, he can. He can ask. So you're saying that the divorce is finalized, and in the divorce decree, he is required to pay alimony for a certain amount of time.
Yes, he said he was. Well, like I said, he was in one court trying to get that case, that criminal charge dropped, and in court for the divorce, so he couldn't dispute alimony. Because actually at the time she made more than him, but because he didn't come to court, I guess they just granted money and child support together at a set amount.
Was he represented by an attorney for the divorce?
No, he didn't go at all because he was in court the same day trying to...
Was he represented by an attorney for the divorce?
Not for the divorce, for the criminal case.
So he basically did the divorce himself. In essence, he filed all paperwork or whatever himself for the divorce?
She filed for divorce and I guess wanted him to not divorce her. And when the divorce just went through on her end. Because it was like a toxic marriage, it seems. They got divorced and got back together, and it's been a mess since. And I guess I thought he's trying to get on in his life, but it seems to me that he's trying to talk to her to go back to court. But I was telling him maybe it's best if he just go get a lawyer or go to the court and find out if there's anything he can do as far as the alimony.
I would suggest a lawyer because depending on the amount of the alimony, you know, and depending on the amount of time that he would have to pay the alimony, it would probably be cheaper to get an attorney to, you know, revise that. Cheaper in the long run, I mean.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for calling in. All right.
You're welcome.
All right. Good question. Good question. All right. We'll go to the next call. Calling in, it looks like, from air code 252. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes. This is Derek. Hello?
Yes. Greetings. Greetings.
Oh, greetings. How you doing, Miss
Lowe? I'm wonderful. How are you?
Okay, I'm doing all right. Okay, this is Derek calling from
yep.
Alabama, North Carolina.
All right.
Okay, I got a question I want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you got a case that's been under grand jury review for almost a year now, and every time you call the courthouse, they say, okay, well, the case is still under grand jury review, and they ask, do I have an attorney? And I tell them no. And they ask why I don't have an attorney. I said because the charges that they rigged up, they falsely accused me. But at the same time, they do not want to proceed with the case. How can I go by getting that case out of grand jury review? Because it's pending on my record, and it causes me not to get a job.
Now, what is your reason for not having an attorney?
Okay. To give it to you straight. Okay, You know, I smoke. You know, I smoke. You know, cannabis, but okay, and they aware of that, so they did a search, a search and seize legal process to actually try to confirm that I was doing something else. But they did it illegally. So it's been a grand jury now over a year. And no one would speak to me about it. I can't get no help about it. And come to find out that the search warrant that they had, it was bogus. And the informant they had, it was bogus. And then on my record, it still have pending against me. And it causing me not to get a job. And it's a year old now.
What is your reason for not having an attorney?
Because I don't have the proper money to get an attorney, you know, and I don't feel like I should have to pay for something that I didn't do wrong. You know, it's like I had to pay a lot of money to get out of jail. So when I pay that money to get out of jail, now you're telling me to turn around and pay an attorney again for something that I didn't do, for something that they did wrong. Because I feel like they had a strong case, they went ahead and went with it. You know, the case is over a year now. I didn't know a case could sit under grand jury that long. I mean, you know, without nobody looking at it, without the DNA, the DA don't want to talk to me about it. I go to the courthouse, I talk to the DA. I try to speak to his representative. I try to get a judge to talk to me. But will nobody talk to me, not unless I got an attorney present. But I waived my right to an attorney because I felt like the search and seize was illegal. But they still got the case under
look
on grand.
My
they
site, nancylockhart.net, and there's a number on there, and give me a call tomorrow morning around 10, 11 o'clock, okay?
Okay, yeah, what is that?
NancyLockhart.net. There's a number on there, and just call and leave a message.
Okay, I feel well.
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling. Beautiful. All right, you guys. Lots of conversation that's going on over on Twitter, as well as going on right here in the chat room. Boy, Nancy. You got them cranked up tonight. Oh, it's definitely the time to know your magic. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines if you have a question for Nancy, and we can take those questions over here. And still going to be giving away, I guess, 2 more copies of the book tonight. You guys call in, press 1. We'd love to hear from you. This is a great time to ask those questions you wanted to ask. That's interesting. Okay, so if you have a question for Nancy, definitely you want to call in and feel free to ask your questions as well, so we can get to that. And you can go to www.nancylockhart.net. And you can find out all information about Nancy's show that she has right here on Blog Talk Radio as well, taking care of those things when it comes to legal analysts and the work that she does, and representing her book, which you guys know y'all love to hear me say the title of her book, is What to Do When Your Ass Gets Locked Up by Nancy Lockhart, a poor man's guide to freedom. Lots of goodies in there. So let's talk about some more of those goodies that's inside the book as well, Nancy, some of the key points. Tell us some more key points that's in the book.
Oh, let's see. You know, the largest thing is talking. Talking when arrested. That is the biggest thing. The thing that I see a whole lot with, especially wrongful convictions, people who have been in prison for quite some time, is that families have spent a whole lot of money and, you know, paid attorneys, and they actually, you know, they actually don't have funds to continue. For example, post-conviction, hiring an attorney for post-conviction or whatever the case may be. And therefore, I have a chapter in there called Finances. And that chapter deals with working and using coupons.
And why is that important? Talk to us about, of course, we know the importance of saving and having this, but why is that so important when you're dealing with these types of situations?
Well, because people don't understand, you know, prison is very expensive. It's expensive for the inmate and it's expensive for the family. Anywhere from telephone calls to, travel to get to some prisons. A lot of prisoners are, you know, not in the area of their, in an area close to their loved ones and that kind of thing. So it's just very expensive. And what I've given is basically an introduction to saving money through using coupons, anywhere from food, clothing, to even gas, using coupons, and learning the scientific ways to, you know, use the coupons.
So talk to us about using the coupons and what are some of the things that you share? What kind of tips do you share inside the book?
Okay, well, I'd say that people should buy the book to see the tips that are shared, but I will give other tips that aren't in the book.
Well, you don't have to give the tips that's in the book, but do you give out, like, websites where people can actually go find places to get these coupons? Do you show the process of how you can actually find to do these savings? Because I know for me, like, I'm real silly when it comes to coupons. I don't even know how to use them, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. And right, Reverend, we're I'm selling my book tonight. I just wanted to let the manifestation know that.
Oh, okay.
So please refrain from the links in the chat room. Thanks. One website, one great website is afullcup.com. And that that website, it actually gives coupon information all over the country. Okay, afullcup.com shows people how to learn their coupon policies, the store policies. For instance, if there's ABC Store, then ABC Store has a coupon policy. That policy will tell whether or not there's buy one, get one free, or whether or not there is what the policy is for buy one, get one free, and, you know, that kind of thing. Some stores will allow two coupons. Are you there, Miss Blue? Hello? I'm wondering, am I still on? Hello? Oh, okay, good. Some stores will allow two coupons, say, for buy one, get one free, okay? And with the two coupons, for buy one, get one free and items that are on sale, then, you know, that is just a larger savings, okay? And thank you, but, you know, we'll handle the links. Thanks. Some store policies say that, you know, you don't use two coupons. some store for buy one, get one free items, okay? And I'll just give a little example of a buy one free deal that I did. This was with actually Surf Detergent. Surf Detergent was $3.99, buy one, get one free. And the store that I did this in, we could use two coupons, and with those two coupons, that those coupons were $1 each. And so that meant $2 off of $3.99. So that meant that the final price was 99 cents for one bottle each. 99 cents for each bottle for two bottles. Okay, so $1.99 for two bottles of Surf. That's just one, you know, one example. Another example is, say, Bounty paper towels. The sale was basically Bounty was $1 on sale for one roll. The coupon was 50 cents. The store policy says that all coupons double 60 cents and below. And so with them doubling 60 cents and below, that 50-cent coupon made it $1. The Bounty paper towels are free. Those are just some, you know, short little samples that, you know, give you an idea of the huge savings. And everybody can find products that they use in their home, food in their home, whatever that they're using. You don't need to make couponing have you purchase things that, you know, you're not using. But that's just, you know, an example. And then afullcup.com is a great website for around the nation. Someone says, will Walmart give it to you cheaper? No. Okay. And I have actually found that it's a lot more cheaper for me to deal with the stores that double the coupons, triple coupons, and that kind of thing, than Walmart. Walmart has become very expensive, in my opinion, for me. That basically, is that good?
Yes, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for that. I had to kind of warp out in the universe for a little bit, take care of some things there. So I'm back. So thank you for that, Nancy. Yeah, we still have two more copies of the book to give away. So 646-522-271 is the number to call. And, of course, we're speaking with Nancy Lockhart here, right here live in the remix. I'm going to go to the phone lines. I'm not sure if we went to this caller yet, but we're going to go. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 661. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Cynthia, California, and I was in line at Walmart, and this lady was in front of me, and she bought probably like $700 worth of groceries plus other items, probably spent like $300 maybe. I want to say it was like less than $200, and that was because she ended up, little did I know, I mean, she did like price comparison, she did coupons, and then she paid with the EBT card. And I was like, she's really using her brain. And I just told my friends, I was like, I need to start couponing.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good thing to do for saving money. And but I really like what you said, Nancy, too. And thank you for calling in with that. That you don't have to force, because I know for me, what I really thought the misconception is that you're forced to buy things that you really don't need. So me spending, like, what am I going to do with $700 worth of groceries? I mean, maybe there are families out there that could use that, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, hopefully it balanced itself out. But I think that I know I have the book, What to Do When Your Ass Gets Locked Up, and Nancy gives out some very, very, very some great information about how to do it effectively, and how to do it for whatever family finance situation that you may be in. Maybe it is to pay for a passport. It doesn't have to necessarily be because you're locked up. So even though that's the name of the book, one of the things, Nancy, and I'll let you speak to this, this is really a book about being proactive. active, because the goal is to keep you from getting locked up.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. And I can tell you exactly what you could do with $700 worth of groceries.
Well, she had a lot of kids.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
then
but even
sense.
If not, I mean, you know, the sales run cycles, okay? In the north, the cycles run 10 weeks at a time. In the south, cycles run the sales cycle runs every six weeks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So your goal is basically to get enough of this almost free product that,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have enough to last you for that six-week or 10-week cycle. You put it in your freezer.
Yeah, and you know what? Someone in the chat room says that I do have a freezer, but I'm not a hoarder either. That's just me. I just don't believe in if I don't need all of that. I'm saying that if I were to do coupons to save, I would save, and then that was it. That was it.
And that's what I do. That's what I do.
When
a lot of people hoard.
When I asked her, you know, I was like, you know, how many? I mean, I was just being nosy at that point. I was like, well, how many people in your family? And then she told me, and then she says she has two refrigerators and a freezer. So, and then they were buying groceries for the whole month.
Okay.
So it
okay.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. No, I was really kind of telling somebody in the chat, and I said, get a freezer. I have a freezer, too. But still, I mean, for me, because I'm one of these frugal shoppers. I don't know about you guys, but I definitely can take $100 and really feed a family of four very efficiently on it and really only have to go back. I go grocery shopping once a month and only go back certain things. This is a system that I devised for myself and my family at times where there were very limited funds. And I shared this with many, many people as well, too, how to do it. So when I get to hear numbers like $700, that's a lot. Even in this day and time, that's a lot, you know. That's a lot of those things to do in there. But like I said, Nancy knows how to do it. So you guys want to get on that, especially if you have a family and you want to get those products, get those things that you need. She's really, really helped me, and the book as well helped me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm definitely going to keep listening because I can go to the grocery store, spend $100 and only come out with two bags. And I don't know if the food that I'm buying is just because I'm a single person. And so I don't necessarily have to buy a lot, so I buy what I want.
Oh,
and
I buy what I want, too. I, too, I believe in that. I mean, I guess the thing about when it comes to food and eating, you food, and Nancy, you can share how you feel about this, too. I know we're turning this into a food show, but this is good. You should plan to eat because you have to eat. So you have to plan to eat. And if you plan for it, then you can do it. You know, at one time, you know, I started to look at how much junk food that happens when you don't plan to eat, because you're going to eat. So if you don't plan to eat, then you're going to end up spending so much money. But you can get those quality things that you want. It's a lot of programs depending on what state you live in. They have farmers markets. They even have where you can pay like a certain amount per month, and you can go pick up a bag of fresh fruit vegetables that will last you for about 2-3 weeks that you can even have, and it really will cut you down on your costs. And then you get your coupons, and you can take care of all your toiletries and all the other things that you have to do. It's so many things that you can do to really maximize that without trying to feel like you're sort of on a budget. I don't really believe in that. But, good points. Very
okay.
good points. Yeah.
Well, thank you, ladies, because I've got a purse right now with coupons in the bottom. And every time I go to the store, for whatever reason, I forget to try to even buy the stuff that I thought I might have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, that site, and then there's another site called SouthernSavers.com. They actually blog. You can, you know, put in your zip code, and get the store that you want to shop in and find out. They blog everything. They blog the specials. They blog where you can find the coupons, whether or not you print them, whether or not they're in the Sunday paper. If you miss the Sunday paper, you can actually order the inserts. You can also order the you can order coupons. So the other thing that I wanted to mention also is check with the stores that give fuel perks, because basically right now I'm getting about 65 cents off per gallon shopping at the stores with those coupons. And these are things that all of us can use, but these are also things that especially families, you know, that are experiencing a hardship can use to save funds.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Great information, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Well, that was great, Nancy. We have about 20 minutes left to go here in the forum, you guys. 646-652-2711 is the number call. Nancy, I know you've been in the chat room too as well. If you want to decide who the other two books go to, that is completely up to you. If you want to see who gives you feedback, some of the callers who are going to reach out, if you decide to gift it to them, that's wonderful too. However you decide to do that, you can do it.
Okay, good. Are you taking other callers?
Yes, I am. Right now, it doesn't look like we have any more. I think we've gotten to all the calls. So if you guys are on the phone lines and you have a question, oh, there we go. That's one on the line. So here we go. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 810. Now here comes all the callers. Calling in from area code 813. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you come from.
Hi, Miss Blue. It's Tia from Tampa.
Oh, greetings to Tia from Tampa.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I really don't have any legal questions. I wanted to ask you a personal question, if it's okay, because I just get the feeling that you're a Sagittarian.
No.
No?
Okay. No.
Oh.
I'm the bull.
You're a bull? Oh,
the bull, yeah.
Shut up. I have this thing where I try to guess people's zodiac signs.
But why?
I don't know. Really? It's just a habit. I don't know why.
Okay, you got a question, Nancy?
No, the show is wonderful tonight. I don't have a question. I just want to know that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for the info. Have a good night, lady.
All right. You too. Thank you. All right, Pete.
Oh, excuse me. Right. I'd like to give the second book to someone in the chat room, Lance Naga L.
Okay, Lance Naga L, you need to call in 646-652-2711. Call in. We want to hear from you. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines. So we can hear your voice. If you can call in, call in. And then we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 256. You're live in the room. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, Miss Blue, and hi, Nancy. This is James from Huntsville, Alabama.
Greetings.
Hi, James.
James.
Yeah, I finally got on. All right. I'm embarrassed to ask this question, but I must ask because it's been on my mind for a while, and I just don't know who else to ask, and I don't feel like asking any police. But knowing the Miranda rights and knowing that I have the right to remain silent, if I just so happen to put marijuana in my mouth and the police pull me over and they want to know what's in my mouth, they don't have to know that I'm deaf, or I could be deaf and I'm not speaking for that reason, but do I have the right to keep my mouth closed so that they won't search my mouth with my marijuana in my mouth?
Nancy,
is that
I had to re- had to remember that you couldn't see my face. One eyebrow is up and the mouth is wide open. No, he did not ask me to help him commit a crime. You have a right to remain silent, but now you're going to also be asked for some identification.
For identification, right.
No.
Look, here's my question. Here's my question for you. It seems like you put a lot of thought into this question because you even said, and I want you to feel embarrassed. This is a place where you can come and you can solve things, and that's what this show is about. But I'm just curious, like, why give so much thought to what you know is already going to be the answer?
Well, it's not so much for myself. I mean, I do partake, but I choose not to put myself in that type of situations. But more so because I would like to do what she does, inform people of the law,
mm-hmm.
and I would, you know, and I run into certain people that, you know, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, you know, I can give somebody some knowledge if I know this much, but I would like to know.
You don't have to work in the legal field to give knowledge on that question. I'm sorry. You're not going to get away with that. You didn't need Nancy to give you the answer on that. But I want to bring something to your attention, and maybe you guys, Nancy, you too, and you, James, remember this because someone brought it up in the chat room. Sun brought it up, Sun Chow Ra. There was a famous story, and I remember this also, where LeVar Burton played a deaf dude who got shot in a television documentary. Do y'all remember that? He played deaf. The police pulled him over and they shot him. So, you know, here's my thing, because, you know, we get real woo-woo here on the readings. I think the only time that we don't get so far woo-woo is when Nancy Lockhart comes on and Brother Umar Johnson. And maybe a couple other people. But other than that, we are in the woo-woo. So here's my thing about this, is that I understand these situations come up and they happen. But I guess for the life of me, what I was really, really, I'm not going to say hoping for, but I guess honestly, I was kind of hoping for really questions that really prevent people from getting in these type of situations, as opposed to, I was really surprised, which I guess we need to do more of these shows, of how many people are already in these situations. And so the next question becomes, is, are we really knowing our magic for real? Because one thing I can tell you guys, Nancy knows her magic. She deals with this legal stuff, but she knows her magic. Don't know your magic, Nancy?
Oh, yes, of course.
Nancy knows her magic, for real.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really curious. And if you want to work this field and you have a passion for it, I say go for it. Because, I mean, tonight is testimony that help is definitely needed. It's never too many that can jump into that. But really, you want to begin to work with people who are trying to make smart choices and not those that somehow feel that this is a part of their destiny. Because doing something like what you just said is somebody, I would say, you know how when you play Monopoly, you say, don't pass go, go straight to jail, don't collect $200? You need to go to jail, period.
So, Ms. Blue, let's give him a book so
understood.
We can help keep him out of jail. Keep some other folks out.
You know, we have everybody calling in. They're so passionate about their situations and how they felt like they got railroaded. These
right,
are the people
right.
you need to be working with, the really hard reach. The sister who called in for her brother. We had maybe two or three people called in for other people, really trying to help. But somebody who wants to take some marijuana, stick it in their mouth, and play like they cannot talk, and want to know what happens, I say take your ass to jail. That's what I say. Because if you're smart enough that you can even use, and I'm talking about something here, you're smart enough that you sat down and premeditated this situation and that you used your holistic brain to think of this scenario, that you are predicting it happened somewhere in the future, and we know how you can get your ass out of this situation, guarantees that what you're doing is paving a road, not you,
right,
to go to jail. And anybody who's interested in doing that, this is what I will say to you from a spiritual point of view. Don't fool with their ass. They dumb.
Yeah.
There you go. You heard the baby say, right? The baby sent what I just said.
Right. Thank you.
So you get a book. Get a book. So email Nancy at the Nancy Lockhart Show at gmail.com. You get a book. You get a book for that very bright
Oh, bless you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, no lie. This is, I mean, I do partake, like I said, but me, I like to educate people, and it is my goal to.
But guess what?
Educate.
Don't even. I'm not even gonna let you dumb yourself down to think that that question is educating somebody. That ain't educating nobody. Get the book and really begin to start educating not only them but yourself. Because if you think that that was educating them, no, that's a waste. That's a waste of energy, and you could be doing something so much more powerful with. So I'm not even gonna let you get away with that on the remix. No, you're too bright for that.
Yeah, and truthfully, with Big Brother watching us and everything that's going on now, why would you even say that on a show where a million people listen?
That's okay. When we know better, we do better. And I know you're going to do better. So there you go.
All right. Okay,
so,
yes. I will.
You know how to reach to Nancy? You know how to do that so you can get the book and everything?
I didn't catch the email address.
Okay, the Nancy Lockhart Show at gmail.com. NancyLockhart. Show at gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And I
Thank
have
you
your name written down, so I'm writing all the names down, so I'll have them when you email me.
Yes, I can. Well, at this moment, I can only give just my first name, so yes.
Yeah, please.
And look, we don't want you to give up. No more information, but here's what I want you to do. Once you've read the book, James, I do want you to call back in now. Let us know how you can really educate people.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just messing with you. Peace and love to you. Thanks for calling in.
It's all love. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Well, can you see an area code 818?
I do, and I'm going to go to that area code 818. Who's on the line, please?
This is Lance Miguel.
Lance.
Yeah, from Montgomery, Alabama, calling out of L.A. Thank you, Nancy. You've been PMing me. Yeah. So.
Wait a minute. Is this Lance?
Yeah, old school remix listener.
Okay, Lance, I'm trying to figure out what's going with your energy.
My energy?
Yeah, you usually come on and say your little thing.
I was just, somebody's on the way. They want to take me out to a little bar, but I'm in the remix right now, so they're on their way, so. my energy is like, you know what I'm saying? I'm still driving, but I know I got to go out, you know?
Aww.
Yeah, Nancy was like, I want to get another book out to Lance Natterell, you know what I'm saying? And you were like, you want to call in. So I called in, and I was like, okay. But.
Okay, so you'll get a book.
You'll get a book.
Appreciate it.
You know how to reach out to Nancy, right?
Yeah, she gave me the email and the PM.
Okay,
so,
beautiful.
Good show, good show, good show. I love your heart, Nancy. I love it.
Well, thank
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. Raspberry, you the truth. You always know I'm the truth.
Yeah, I wanted to hear you was a raspberry.
But, you know, I'm trying to, like, I'm to the level right now, you know, like, nature is calling me, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm dealing with a sister that come to get me, and she deals
okay.
with a lot with fairies and stuff, and then it's like nature really trying to call me, and then I'm trying to, like, make the balance between spirituality and physicality, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm really trying to get my energy to the level it really needs.
Wait. Did you say naturality and spirituality?
No, I said spirituality and physical allergy.
Oh.
Real.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna let you go handle your business. You definitely want to go do that, and we want you to do that. It's good hearing from Lance.
Yeah, I'm still here, though.
Yes, well, that's a beautiful thing. Be easy.
Yes, I need to. Thank you, Mama.
Be easy. Peace and love to you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Oh, that was beautiful. Old-time remix listener, Lance, got a chance to get the book. Nancy, we have about 5 minutes left to go in the forum. I want you to really kind of close out here this evening. First, let me tell you thank you. It's always an honor and a joy to have you come on the forum to share so much of your information and work. I know we didn't even get the chance to talk about some recent things you're working on, so you can touch on that if you want to. Let people know how to get in touch with you and know that you're always welcome here.
Thank you, Ms. Blue. Thanks for having me tonight. I've really enjoyed myself.
Yes.
And I guess briefly I'd like to mention the case of Marissa Alexander, who is the 31-year-old sister in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. She was a battered woman, domestic violence victim, fired a shot, one warning shot, into the top of the wall. And she has recently been sentenced to 20 years in prison. That website is justice4marissa.com. That's justiceformarissa.com. We're asking people to join us in a day of global rallies for Marissa on June 24th. That's Sunday, June 24th. It's indeed a very egregious wrongful conviction, and there will also be a national conference call. So if people will look on that website, justiceformarissa.com, the number four, and get updates, print out a flyer and whatever, that's one major case that's pressing. Marissa is very fortunate to have a great team of attorneys, which is rather rare, okay?
Yeah.
I think what we were going to mention maybe a couple other high-profile cases, but probably don't have time. So I guess that's the most important one right now. I'd like to say to everyone, you can basically keep up with what I'm doing on my blog. That's nancylockhart.net. If you want to order the book, you can go to my blog, nancylockhart.net, and I will ship it out to you. And I guess basically that's about it.
All right. Well, that's a lot, Nancy, and you gave us some wonderful things to begin to take a look at. And, of course, for all of you guys, I recommend you get the book, What to Do, What to Do When Your Ass Gets Locked Up, really a poor man's guide to freedom and really just helping you stay abreast of those things that you need to be aware of as it comes to your day-to-day life and as you're going about that life. If you have any questions, you guys know you can hit Nancy up and to her website, find out all of those things again, www.nancylockhart.net. you can do that. You can also go over to Nancy's show and hear her as well, too. And someone is asking in the chat room, do you still hunt?
I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, you remember that healing? Yeah, Nancy, something
else. I've been hunting down people here lately, healing.
So everyone is really loving the show. I've enjoyed it. I loved it. It's always great to have you on the platform. You bring so much great information, knowledge, and wisdom. Doing what you do, Nancy, we definitely support you, the Remix family. We know you're a part of us as well, too. So it was good to have you in the house tonight. Guys, don't forget, next week, Brother Peck is coming. He'll be breaking down movies. We got other guests coming on the show as well, too. And also, don't forget, Kim Business Class is going down now. Check your emails for that. And also, a blast call later this week. So I'll be seeing you guys in the sessions, in the readings, right here on The Remix, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. So if you like the show, like it. If you love it, love it. Love it and leave a message. Leave a message over on Facebook. Or you can also tag and leave a message over on Twitter. Spread it all around the cosmos. And just let everybody know. I appreciate you guys. Love you guys so much. Much love, warm spirit. Until next time, you guys. See you guys back here in The Remix. You know how to do. Same time all over. If you have those emails, don't forget about the lecture. Brother Wayne Chandler, going to the ATL. Email Brother Panic. You can do that at AtlantaLectures@Hotmail.com. Peace and love. Reach out to me. QuestionForBlue@gmail.com. Peace and love, everybody. Night.
Night, Miss Blue. Night, everyone.
Oh, good night. Peace and love to you, Nancy. Oh, before we get out of here, really, really quick, we're going to play Baby Blue. We need to put a little Baby Blue up in here. Let's see if we can find Baby Blue really quick. Where is she? There she is.
La, 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 The Remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, everyone. Peace and love. See you guys next week.